Hello and welcome to Tongues of Fire, Pastor Paul's podcast. This is the conclusion to episode 202. This is part two, I Am, Said I Will. Today is Sunday, July 10th, 2011. And welcome to Tongues of Fire, Pastor Paul's podcast. I am your hostess with the mostest, Janine Arnopoulos, and I'm coming to you from Spirited, North Minneapolis, Minnesota, USA. And Pastor Paul's club is also located in Disciples Ministries historic Mikra Kodesh Synagogue at 1000 Oliver Avenue in North Minneapolis. So if you live anywhere in Minnesota, you are living in a household of two or more, you're a senior 60 and older, or disabled with proof, you can come in to Pastor Paul's, register your household for monthly groceries. If you need more information, please call us at 612-521-4665, Monday through Friday between 1 and 4 p.m. Thank you for joining the podcast. The month of July, these are the messages. Doors, I Am, Says I Will, Wake Up, Melt Me, Fight On. There you have it, the podcast for the month of July. Be sure to join us every Friday for part one and every Sunday for part two. Subscribe to Pastor Paul's podcast and have a great month of July.
Isn't that exciting? Don't get into monetary things. God is interested in the poor and the feeding of the poor. And when you go ahead and you do that work and you haul your ashes and you bring your dust down and you do it, you say, oh, I feel so good. Out of your innermost being will flow what? Rivers of living waters. Don't ever distrust God's providence. Because many of his children have brought to, the last loaf of bread, but they've not starved. Isn't that right, Mary? Have you been brought to your last loaf of bread ever? Yes. Maybe the Lord spoke to someone to take a loaf over there, or a brother, or whatever, or a sister. A lot of times brothers and sisters don't listen. Jesus says, do you have an ear? Can you hear? Do you have eyes? Can't you see? You're seeing all this on TV. You're hearing it over the radio. You're seeing it with your own eyes. You remember the widow with the cruse of oil? Or the birds that fed the prophet? Or the fishes and the loaves? See, a miracle could happen to feed you, or it could be no miracle at all. This is a providential. Or then again, a miraculous thing. So whether it's providential or whether it's miraculous, praise him. A woman comes to the bread run. She says, oh my God, she says, I'm so thankful for this bread. You know my cupboards are totally bare? How long have you been coming down here? I said, 4.5 years. Well, how'd you get started in this? I said, with one bag of bread. And now it's 12,000 bags every month of grocery items go out of this ministry. Started out with the I will of God, I will furnish, and one person came, I will, and 10 came, and it was furnished, and 100 and 1,000, and now it's 12,000 bags go out of you. We can't keep up with it. But God says, I will! And so now things are coming in here. Coolers and cookers and all kinds of things. Is God's arm short that he cannot reach the problem? No. Sometimes our heads are a little bit short. Say amen, somebody. And so we have these miracles that are happening all the time. Providential or miraculous, doesn't matter. God, they're miracles. The Bible says, trust in the Lord and do good. So shalt thou dwell in the land, and verily thou shalt be fed. He shall dwell on high, and his place of defense shall be munitions of rocks. Bread shall be given to him, his water shall be sure. Well, you say, how about now? Somebody on the radio just heard him say that. I say, all of the sudden, he will open up the rivers in the high places and the fountains in the midst of the valleys. Oh, yes, 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 he will. But then the text also is true in the spiritual experience of the believers. Do you know what it is sometimes when spiritual things that are very low ebb? How many know that when the spiritual things that are low ebb, you do not feel spiritual at all? You feel this. Oh man, I am so dry. I feel like a wilderness experience walking around. You're dust. Nothing more and nothing less. When you can't find any joy, have you ever been there? You're all around looking for joy. Joy, where are you? I'm not talking about you, Joy. Joy, where are you? You can't find any? Huh? You know what's wrong? You got to give some joy to get some joy. Well, I don't feel it. How can I give something I don't have? Well, the joy of the Lord is your strength. Just obey the Lord and do that which pleases the Lord, and He'll bless you. And through for your obedience, you'll get joy, and that'll be your strength. Give your leg strength to haul your ashes and your dust over to somebody else and give them some joy, because everything is by the grace of God, and nothing is by yourself. Don't try to take credit for anything. Oh, I'm so happy today. And then they write a book, 1,001 Ways to Have Joy. King's Kids or whatever. How many are hearing this message today? But you hardly have any kind of hope. And when you look into your very own heart, all seems as dry as a bone as the earth in autumn, let's say. Now, don't get melancholy on me. We're going to work our way out of this.
Yeah, that's exactly how I feel. This dry as a bone. Boy, you're hitting me right on the head. You must know my problem completely.
Well, how many have felt that way one time or another? Just put your hands up and turn around and look at all the folks that have felt that way, and you won't feel like you're all dust and ashes, the Bible says. But you have no power, and you have no strength, scarcely any desire. How many have felt that way? Boy, them hands are coming up slow. Oh, God, that's me. Oh, well, at least you're getting your hand up. That's some encouragement. Get a crane back there. I see someone with a problem getting their arm up. Yeah. See, you might be under some kind of a human judgment. Now, wherever good is, evil is always present. Why? Because evil can't feed on evil. There's nothing to eat there. They got to feed on good. They have to feed on good. If you're doing any good thing for the Lord, evil will always be present. How many have felt that way?
Oh, gee. Before I got saved, I had better than I have now. When I got saved, I just had to a devil to contend with. Now I got the world, the devil, the flesh. I don't know what's what. I got demons, I this and that and so on. Man, I was better off the way I was. Huh?
See, having learned that, see, I will of God, you can stand on that, and there's always going to be temptation, and there's always going to be battle, and there's always going to be conversation, and it might even be a slander, preacher. So what, says I? What's that got to do with you doing your job? What does it have to do with, huh? You go down to your regular job, and you're doing your job, okay? You're down there, tote that bale, and you're moving this thing like that, and you sit down. What are you sitting down for? We're paying you to tote that bale and get that thing over to the other side of the room. I don't feel with it. I don't feel with it. I'm hanging down right now. I have no joy, no hope. My heart is as dry as the earth in autumn. I scarcely have any strength and no desire whatsoever. Well, I don't care about all that. I want them bales moved over there, okay? Either that or punch out and go to the mental ward, because I don't need that kind of crazy talk. God don't need that kind of crazy talk either. How many are hearing? That's crazy. See, what you do, you talk yourself into a depressive state, and you're down. You talk your way right out of living when you're supposed to give your life. And what do you give anyway? A dried up pile of dust. Big deal! I gave my life to Christ. Well, big deal! He's the only one that can straighten out such a mess. He can bless a mess. People won't do it. Maybe you're under some kind of human judgment, though. Maybe you're even hated in the house of your friends. Well, that's what the Bible says. You will be hated in the house of your friends in the end. Despised, rejected of men, slandered. Now we're coming into the end time, aren't we? Maybe you sit down and maybe you say, I'm just no child of God. Have you ever sat down and said that? You ever, when you were a kid at home, thought, well, where did I come from? And your parents are right there and everything, you know. Well, they don't love me anymore. I'm not even one of their kids. They don't even pay no attention to me now that I'm a teenager and I got peach fuzz on my face and I'm always hungry. They hate me. They hate my orange hair that's sticking out like, you know, the northern lights. Nobody likes me. Everything is wrong with me. My tennis shoes, my t-shirt, the peach fuzz on my face, my orange hair. Doesn't anybody love me? Doesn't anybody care? Doesn't anybody love me? Doesn't anybody care? That's the group over there. Have you ever said like that? I am giving up. I am spiritually dead. I don't have an ounce of spirituality in me. Well, the Bible says be careful when you think you know something, know nothing at all. And when you're very, very weak in yourself is when the power of God comes in and God says, my strength lies in your weakness, your dust. And I'll cause your dust to rise up and to be resurrected by the waters and the springs of waters and the rivers. Hallelujah. And if you'll just trust in me right now, I will do it. And your parents say the same thing to you, you listening out there on the radio. If you do this, I will. I will do it. But first I want you to do your room. But I'm spiritually dead. I'm dry. I'm hurt. I'm defeated. And like David said, surely I will die at the hand of Saul. And here he was in the enemy's camp. And the enemy was going to take care of all these other folks. And even he was deceiving, saying he was going down and destroying his own people, and he was destroying the king's people. Are you hearing this? Surely I will die at the hands of Saul. You ever felt that way? But yet, have you never known that within a moment's time, great waters, gates, floods of waters are loosed and your soul is full, 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 feeling full and hope and full of love and full of joy all of a sudden? Has it not happened to you? It's happened to me. Hasn't happened all of a sudden? Oh, hallelujah. All of a sudden, all heaven broke loose. When you're in the world, you said all hell broke loose. It says in the Bible, where now? It says the chariot wheels were taken off and the chariots dragged. Can you imagine the people laughing at you when your wheels are off and you're dragging along and you got your plumes up there, you know, and your plume is all bent over from persecution and everything, you know, and you get your sandals, the straps are busted on, you're flopping around on them things, you know. You jump up in this chariot up in there, see, and it's dragging. You got two old cows pulling that thing. Ah! They're out there laughing and carrying. Oh! Oh, man, you lost your blessing. You lost the anointing. Oh, man. Ah, you're hearing this, preacher? You're always writing. Oh, find out their names. They're going to have fellowship. You can take me on a vacation. For a day. But you were laughed at because of your condition, preacher. This one preacher wrote me, "Oh, beans, you won't tell me your names, I'm going to minister about you. And I'll never find out your name." But he says, "I'm at a church, and they've had, in the last 4 years, they've had three different pastors that just, they had them to leave, and then they had another pastor that died, had a heart attack, and another one, and now I'm here." Well, are you some kind of a fool? Get out of there. Speak the word of the Lord and then go. And say, hallelujah, as you leave. Unless that, of course, you are received. But anyway, people prophesying your doom. Pastor Paul, you said, and this is another one, people are prophesying my doom. What does that mean? Is that any excuse for you not to go on in your ministry because people are prophesying your doom? Keep on. Did you not give your life? Keep on. My mother used to say this. Keep on a keeping on. And I always wondered what that meant until I got down here. Now I know what keep on a keeping on means. Means when nothing looks like, when nothing has happened, when it looks like nothing's happening, keep on keeping on, and then it'll make sense. But you got to keep on and keeping on. Did you hear that now? Wipe the tears away from your eyes, get up, shake the dust off your feet, and get moving, preacher. Be your own encouragement, but first ask for the Lord to give you encouragement so you can encourage yourself with the grace of encouragement that God has given you. It's all done by grace. Don't worry about dragging that chariot with a busted plume feather and broken sandals and two old cows. At least you're still moving. How many are hearing this? Now you can be leaping, hallelujah, and laughing for joy. The Lord has, what the Bible say, turned your captivity into rejoicing. Are you held captive by some kind of a thought or some kind of a persuasion or whatever? Are you? Huh? Huh? That's for some of them people out there in the radio, they fell asleep. That's better than a rap on the head with a stick. But all of a sudden you are filled, and it says your mouth will be filled with laughter. And your tongue was singing, and it's done all of a sudden. Yesterday I got a belly laugh. You ever start getting a belly laugh? And you can't stop laughing. It's kind of like when you have kids over. When you're a kid and you get the giggles, and your parents open up the door. If you're not quiet, I'm going to send Billy home, and you're going to sleep by yourself. Now, I mean it. And they close the door. And they say, well, Pastor, do you get those fits often? Quite often. Yeah. I know there's people in Anoka like me, the mental ward, but I mean, I get them. I can't help it. Maybe I am insane. I don't know. I don't really care. I love to have a good belly laugh. How about you? Well, don't you all have fits of insanity and nervousness, fits of nerves? How many of you have nervous fits once in a while? Where every nerve in your body is just like it's, right out there on your fingertips. You know what I mean? A fit. Do you ever have them, pastors? A nervous fit? Do you ever have times when you know that you belong in a straitjacket? I do. I do. You ever had those times? You know you're totally off? Nuts? No. That's negative. I don't receive that. I don't care if you do or not. It's the truth. It's nuts not to recognize that, isn't it? But all of a sudden you're filled with laughter because God can do very strange things for His people, even wonderful things, which they didn't even look for. Oh, I didn't expect that. Did you ever try to go someplace and have a good laugh? Let's go out and have fun. So you're all excited about going out and having fun. Let's go have fun. And you're all excited? Well, it hasn't happened yet. I wonder, you go here and you go there and you try to find fun. And you've tried all those things. You spent all that money trying to have fun. I hope you guys are having fun down here. I know you are. But you go all over because you appreciate. Now you've come to that point in your life where you appreciate people and appreciate each other and so on like that. So you're just going to have fun, right? Oh, what's fun? Fun is appreciation. Fun, I don't have to have some kind of a condition for me to have fun. If I'm with people I like, it's fun. Even when they're unlikable. Isn't that the way it should be? Because God fills you and fills your mouth with laughter and gives you the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness, and you didn't even ask for it. It's called a blessing. Strange things. Notice those four words relating again to this water for the thirsty to drink. Rivers, fountains, a pool, springs of water. See, there's a difference in those four words, and they're like this. First, it's rivers. I will open up rivers in high places, and they shall come directly from God, a rush of mighty grace. Whoop! Directed right at you, rivers in the high places. Like streams of flowing rivers. Hallelujah. Not just lazy, lazy river down the old mill stream. Flowing rivers, floods. Your poor, dead, dry heart shall suddenly feel like the waters of life have come directly from the throne of God to you. And they'll say, "Why? What are you so happy about?" I've had people say that to me. They'll come down, they'll fish around. They want some kind of whatever. And you're all happy and everything, you know. So, we expected you to be dead by now. Sorry, I didn't mean to disappoint you or anything like that, but I have a flood that came on me this morning. And I can't explain it. It's just the joy of the Lord or something. It's got to be God because, you know, looking at you, I should have said, certainly wouldn't give me any kind of joy. Pardon my sarcasm, but that's the way it is. God's dealing with me. You know, are you hearing this? Well, see, it's God that gives you joy. You try to get joy out of people? They don't want to give you joy. Say amen. We do not want to give our joy. If we're real happy about something, it's kind of like, we got a secret. It's kind of like, somebody that's a baker for years and years, they don't want to give their recipes up. All these recipes have brought joy to people down the line. And they won't give them up. They'll die with them. These recipes. They don't want to share it with anybody, that knowledge of that joy. I'll share with you what it is. And here is the secret to having joy. Jesus is your joy, and your spirituality is Jesus and no more. Your spiritual is having Jesus. You'll never get any more spiritual than that. You can't build up being spiritual. You can't carry a Bible. You can put the black pinstripe suit on. You can do everything. You can look real spiritual and everything like that. You can say God instead of God. You can do all that, but it won't do a thing for you. See what I mean? It won't do a thing because you just got to be yourself. Do you ever see your kids when they start? Now, when I was growing up, they had these movies with Clark Gable, and they had to, personally, I really don't care. You know, and then I would mock this guy, and I'd mock this guy, and I'd mock James Cagney, and my brother got into Al Jolson, and he went 7 times or 8 times to see Al Jolson. He would be in his room, Mammy, Mammy. Huh? And we try to imitate people. Do your kids ever do that? You can tell exactly who they're playing with. They're with a real nice person. All right, Mom. And the next time they come in, oh, shut up. They ain't telling me what to do, huh? How many are hearing this? It's not people. It's not taking on their personalities. It's not being like them. It's simply seeking the Lord. And all of a sudden, rivers of waters and fountains and floods of waters and rivers in high places will come gushing down on you. For no, God doesn't have to have an excuse to bless you. People do. Happy? Why should I make you happy? Right? How many are hearing this message? Are you hearing it? Go on the radio. Put your hands up. Put your Pepsi down. Put your hand up. Whew. Oh, there shall be waters to swim in. You shall have an abundance where you had nothing. Jump in. Go under. Swim. Float on your back. Spit water out of your mouth. Cry out. He hath done it. Next, the word is fountains, which means wells. Woo, hallelujah. No wells are places where people actually go to get water. They actually go to the well. That's the church. I mean, it represents, it means of the grace. With joy we will draw water, it says, out of the wells of salvation. But I hear someone say, I've been to the means of grace and yet obtained no comfort. You blame the preacher? Maybe you blame yourself. But all of a sudden, hallelujah, God appears and opened up wells. And I've seen it in messages many, many, many times. People come in and they're dry as a bone. Sometimes in deliverance ministry, you can go on for 45 minutes and all of a sudden that message, that well will well up and the word will hit just right and someone gets a witness in their spirit. I don't care if they get the 13 goose pimples on their elbow as a witness or if they get a shake or a quiver in their back or whatever happens, but suddenly something opens up and it starts to make sense to them. And they say, glory to God, I got it! Hallelujah! But how much better when they come to church with their buckets to reach down into the well? And they're waiting in line. They say, well, it's coming. My turn is coming, and all of a sudden it comes. Maybe it's the end of the message. Amen. Whoa! Huh? And they walk out full, and their buckets are slopping, slushing from side to side. I thirsted, it says, but I went to the house of the Lord in vain, for I received no comfort. Well, then see what God can do. He can make, it says, the rivers of grace flow direct from His throne, and He can open up the wells in the customary use and the means of grace. He can do it right where you're sitting right now. And then, I will make a wilderness a pool of water. And here's an idea of an overflowing abundance. When there's no more that will hold it, and it overflows this bank, and it makes a great big pool out there. No, it's no mirage. It is a pool of water. God can give you so much joy that you will not know how to hold it all. And I've been in those situations. I can't explain it. I don't want to explain it, because if I look for an explanation, I'll ruin it. I'll write a book, How to Have Joys. And it won't work for the next person. It's got to come from the fountain of God. It's got to come from God. They can't prophesy a spring on you or nothing else. It's got to come from God, from the throne of grace. And if God uses the well, uses the preacher as the well, or uses the church or the word as the well, and you come and you get it that way, well, that's the way God gave it to you. God can give you so much joy, I said, that it overflows and it becomes a reservoir pool. And now you got a reservoir pool. God can make you so earnest in your work, you will overflow. I got so earnest in my work the other day. I was down there and I was so earnest in this work, I could not stop. I could not sleep those 4 days until the job was done. And the Bible says, this one thing I do, hallelujah, and this one thing I do. And I started to get the joy of the Lord in that thing, and I couldn't sleep, and I started to get the joy of the Lord, and I started to get strength in my old body. And I said, glory to God, I got the joy of the Lord. And the cooler went in, and Monday the rest of the boilers will go in, and the next week we'll get a brand new great big old truck will come in here, and hallelujah. And so now we're in the move of the Lord, and that's all I know is the joy the Lord fell on me and filled me, and He can do for you what He's done for me, and He can fill you without any kind of an excuse. He can fill you up if you'll haul your asses and get your dust to go. And are you hearing me preach today? Are you hearing it? God, I hope you are out there. I hope you people out there are hearing it. Don't be afraid to come down here in the ghetto. So many people, they see the reports on TV. And carrying somebody out in the cot. Sit. Another murder down on the north side. Huh? Oh, look at there. Look at. Well, hey, I know people right out in the suburbs that walked away with their whole house. You imagine coming back off a vacation and going and say, well, honey, bring him a cooler. Oh, what happened? A whole house empty? And I can hear someone saying right now, sure, people from North Minneapolis came out there and did it. No. You get blamed for everything down here, you know that? Well, at least it gets people's attention. We need help. Help! Did you hear that? See, I get so earnest in my work. I get an overflow of energy. I get a reservoir, a pool off to the side, a pool out there of water, a reservoir out there. Somebody don't have a whole lot, I say, go jump in my reservoir pool. Swim around, lay on your back, spit water up, sing hallelujah, and get right with God, and come on back in, help me do this work, and you'll get filled to overflowing. You'll get your own springs and wells of water and rivers flowing out of the mountains. See, He doesn't just give you a drop of grace now and then, but He fills you up in the dry places till you become standing pools. All the little dry places are all filled in, and now it's a pool. And then there's that word springs, Hallelujah. Listen to this. Springs. I call it the boing boing blessing. You know what it represents? A perpetual freshness from day one till now. A perpetual boing boing freshness. Springs. Always something new. Don. Every week when you come here, and you know, you always mention there's something new, right? Well, it's the boing boing blessings. Springs. Isn't that great? Boing. 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 Here's a big one. Boing. You understand what I'm talking about? The boing, boing blessings. That springs, hallelujah. New delights in holy service, hallelujah. New thoughts of Christ. New revelations. Hope. And the revelations, by the way, are love and faith and hope. But the greatest of these is love. This faith can't work without love. And love can't do anything without faith. It's called the boing boing. Each one of the springs are dependent on the next to give you rest, to give you peace, to give you joy. And so we must use this text this way: for God's promise is temporal and for God's promise is spiritual. Learn to plead the promise. And I say claim it, I said plead it. During a wilderness experience, He has said, I will. Read the promise. Now for you young converts, as I close up here, God will help you. Brand new babes in Christ, they get saved. I remember I got saved and I went to church and I had the joy of the Lord all over me. I had 2 weeks of heaven. Oh, praise the Lord. Dee, 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 huh? And after those 3 weeks of heaven, I went into a droop. And I had 9 months of deliverance. Oh, man, is this for real? Oh, and I've told everybody about Jesus. Now, I put my foot in my mouth. I've witnessed to this guy and that guy. They all think I'm crazy. No one wants me back. But I can't leave God. I don't want to leave them. I'm caught twixt the two. What am I going to do? Huh? You ever been that way? You new babes, hang on. Say amen. You're going to have trials. You're going to have temptation. You're going to be persecuted in the house of your friends. Well, you know, persecution when you first get saved is like when you go into a dime store and you're having a piece of pie and you bow your head to say your prayers and someone snickers at you. You come to church and give it, oh, I was really persecuted. I was saying my prayers over a piece of pie and they snickered at me. I'm not talking about that kind of persecution. I'm talking about real live persecution with darts hanging off your body and knives and people coming up and saying, well, I went over there to stick a knife in the old gent, but you know what? There was no more room. Well, why didn't you throw a stone? Oh, I didn't think of that. Give me some stones, huh? Are you hearing this, preacher? I hope my life is an encouragement. Poorly as it's been. Now listen, you young converts, God will help you. He will open up rivers in high places, fountains in the midst of the valley, and He will make your wilderness a pool of water and dry land springs of waters, and especially you. Because who were these people to whom the Lord spoke anyway? They were the poor and they were the needy. That's why I'm getting blessed. I'm poor and I have need. Say amen, somebody. When the poor and needy, it says, seek water. God will not do much for the spiritually rich people. And there's so many right now that are spiritually rich. Oh, we are rich and increasing good and have need of nothing, says the Laodicean people. We know how to reach the hand of God. And I've heard people tell me, they say, you know what? And this is what you wrote me, this one pastor said, that the people said that you did not know how to reach the hand of God. You don't reach the hand of God. The hand of God reaches you. He first loved you. Now get that straight, will you please? God first loved you, and he reached out to you, and he's always reaching out to you, and all you got to do is just put one little finger up, one little feeble finger up, and God is there. The contrite heart, he will not walk away from. So you preacher that's out there listening, God especially speaking to you right now. He isn't going to do a whole lot for the proud claimers, the proud talkers, the, you know, the will of God folks. You ever been real down and someone will come and say, well, don't you know the will of God in your life? Well, you're supposed to jump up. No, well, why don't you just leave them there for a while? Maybe God is dealing with them on something. Just don't give them all them scriptures or what kind of faith is this? And so many people right now have been into the hyper-faith message that they daren't say that something went wrong or they're negative or something like that. They say, where's your faith, man? They just hauled it out of here. The Cadillac was hauled out of here. Okay? I got it by faith, and I wrote a bad check to get it, and they hauled the thing out of here. Okay? Say amen. Oh, don't say amen. Say ouch. See, it's totally off. Then to all the know-it-alls who fleece people, the spiritual con man, I don't care if you're in a tent, or I don't care if you're an elaborate TV, a money marathon person. There's a whole lot of con going on. Say amen, somebody. Then you wonder why the world laughs, makes fun. I mean, you who say that you are rich in yourself and increased in goods, and you have need of nothing. You have plenty enough self-made grace. You trust in your own arm. You sacrifice your own goodness, and there is nothing for you in God. See, His grace is for the poor and for the needy. And some of you listening to me right now, you feel like crawling under the seat or turning the radio off. You feel so unworthy. You feel so low. You feel so rejected, so empty-hearted. Don't let any old fool come up and tell you something and lay a word on you. Because right now you're so broken down, you're so low. Well, good, I say. It's for you that God will make rivers and open up fountains and pools and springs for. When will He do it? The Bible says, when they begin to seek Him. When the poor and needy seek water. What is Ethiopia doing right now? They're wandering around seeking water like nomads in the desert. I don't care what world. Are you listening, world? I don't care what it would cost. I don't care what it would cost to take water over there and food over there. I don't care if it costs 10 times as much as the food. It doesn't matter. If you would do that, God would open up mountain streams and wells and pools and reservoirs and all kinds of things. Not only that, but if you'll do that, world, are you hearing this? If you will do that, God will cause Africa to bloom, one of the most fertile nations in all the world. And I believe there's a little bit of fear there that if the ground was made fertile by the rains of God or by whatever man thinks would open up these fields of plenty, they would not only feed the world, they would feed the world 10 times over. But we're afraid to give up. We're afraid to spend 10 times as much. We're afraid to volunteer the time. We're afraid, I'm in the union. No, I went to a place and the guy said, I said, can you take this box out? No, this his job. Oh, no, he has the, and then one guy had the, two-wheeler. So he couldn't take the two-wheeler over to here to get the forklift to pick it up to put it over here. And they had to go through so much junk, I picked up the thing and took it out of there. Huh? And isn't that the way with red tape and politicians and army regulations? And all of us are caught up in that. That's not my job. Pray tell, what is your job? Pray tell, people, what is your job? What is your calling? I don't know. I'm still waiting for God to give me a direction. In the meantime, stop bumping around in the walls like somebody wound up. Bam, 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 huh? Oh, con man, lay it down. You're looking at a con. I know a con. It takes one to know one. When I was in the world, I was a con. Period. Not only a convict, but a con man. Are you feeling that way out there? Well, then seek him. See, your desires must be bug-eyed. Really earnestly seek him. You must be longing for God. You must cry out with your heart, I will return unto my God. I will seek mercy at his hands. I will plead with him. That's what the Bible says. That's scripture. I will return unto my God. I will seek mercy at his hands. I will plead with him. You don't claim it. Hey! And then the Lord will begin to open up fountains. Oh, God. You know what? I'm so glad. I know this works. Because I've had my dry times. But then the time is noted further still here. And it'll just take me a couple minutes. Let your roast beef burn for this one time, okay? I understand somewhere along the line that charcoal meat is really good for you anyway. So maybe you'll learn to like it. You keep coming here, you'll learn how to like burnt beef. Or you'll go to Arby's or something. But listen to the rest of this message, okay? But we go a little further still. Let me just go a little bit further with this. It is not only when they begin to seek, but when they begin to silently plead. Now, you know what I'm talking about? When there's no more words left in you, and you're groaning in your spirit, and there's no more words left, there's no more conversation left, there's no more cliches left, there's no more claim it, there's no nothing left. And you silently plead with God. And you know how you do that? Sometimes I'll wake up in the morning burdened with this mission. And I'll find myself, and it really isn't me altogether, but it'll be like a moan. Oh, my God. And I'll roll over to the other side and I'll say, oh, God. It's a yearning. It's a silent pleading, if you will. You see, you're all talked out. You're all fought out. You're defeated in yourself.
There you have it. That was the conclusion to episode 202. That was part two, I Am, Said I Will. Be sure to listen to Pastor Paul's episodes, part one on Friday and part two on Sunday. If you've missed any of the episodes, you can always go to www.pastorpaul.blogspot.com, and there you're going to find show notes to the messages. There you will also find scripture links that are within Pastor Paul's messages. Next week, be sure to join us on Friday for part one of Wake Up. Have a great week. God bless you.
When the Lord get ready.